Blog Talk Radio.
God that we have overtime because according to my studio we only have 9 minutes left, but thankfully we have 15 minutes of overtime that we can use, and so we'll definitely be using that, so we have 25 minutes of show tonight. It was labeled First Friday Devotion, however that was just because I could not find an interesting title. But I want to quickly give you a quick update on ISIS. Hundreds of Christian men, women, and children have been taken and beheaded. We need to keep them in our prayers. There is not, however, there is not anything going on this week for prayer hours or prayer time. So I invite you this week to go ahead and set your own prayer hour, prayer minute, whichever you can do. In the meantime, we're going to start today's show, and I have my great friend, Chase, with me this afternoon to join in as co-hosting. How are you, Chase?
I'm doing fine. I was just going over some YouTube videos, seeing which ones I can post.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about the trials and sorrows of Jesus. To put our mind and truly format of what Jesus himself went through. And the tip that I give when I talk about this is pray the rosary. And so we're going to go over these things nonstop Then at the end, I'll bring Chase back on and we'll have a little discussion. So now just maybe close your eyes and listen to this. Jesus left his heavenly kingdom to come down to earth, to be born in humble manger with animals. Jesus was a target for murder from the moment of birth. Jesus suffered from the death of all those born near him. Jesus was forced to flee during the night and remain in hiding. Jesus was again relocated out of his fear for his life. Jesus suffered the death of his earthly father. Jesus put aside his true status to serve those whom he is above. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert among wild beasts. Jesus was tempted by the devil. Jesus was surrounded by crowds of people with contagious and physical conditions. Jesus endured the company of sinners. Jesus was asked to leave town. Jesus was to be thrown over a hill by an angry mob. Jesus had nowhere to rest his head. Jesus experienced lack of faith of his closest friends. Jesus spoke of only the truth, yet was charged with blasphemy. Jesus was rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. Jesus was criticized for his methods. Jesus was not obeyed. Jesus suffered for the afflicted. Jesus owned nothing. Jesus was insulted and called names. Jesus was rejected by his own disciples. Jesus was doubted. Jesus dwelled in the land of his enemy. Jesus received not the honor he deserved. Jesus suffered the death of friends and relatives. Jesus was subjected to tests and trickery. Jesus had his authority questioned. Jesus became the servant of those beneath him. Jesus was accused of misleading and deceiving people. Jesus suffered great frustration. Jesus was nearly stoned twice. Jesus was forced to hide. Jesus was forced to flee to avoid persecution and arrest. Jesus was called a sinful man. Jesus was called a possessed and crazy. Jesus was conspired against. Jesus anticipated being betrayed by his friends. Jesus washed the feet of his betrayer. Jesus ate with his betrayer. Jesus anticipated his upcoming great suffering with such agony that his sweat became like drops of blood. Jesus suffered disappointment in his friends. Jesus, with a kiss, was betrayed by a friend for a small sum of money. Jesus was treated with contempt. Jesus was arrested as a criminal. Jesus was abandoned by his friends. Jesus was spat at. Jesus was slapped. Jesus was struck repeatedly. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was bound. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was testified against by false witnesses. Jesus was blindfolded and beaten. Jesus, although pronounced not guilty, was chosen for death by a mob of people over a true murderer. Jesus was sentenced to death. Jesus was scourged. Jesus was stripped. Jesus repeatedly struck on the head. Jesus was picked by a crown of thorns. Jesus was forced to carry a heavy cross on his beaten and bloody body. Jesus fell three times under the weight of the heavy cross. Jesus was rejected by the populace. Jesus was publicly ridiculed. Jesus was reviled. Jesus was crucified between criminals. Jesus was mocked by a criminal. Jesus was gawked at. Jesus hung on the cross for hours with outstretched arms. Jesus suffered unbearable thirst. Jesus suffered unimaginable pain. Jesus watched his mother suffer the greatest agony. Jesus died a painful and humiliating death. Jesus knew that even his own death would not be able to save everyone whom he loved. Jesus suffered all these things for his love, but for you, and for all. Considering his great love for us, we must keep in our minds our Lord's instruction that whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In a nutshell, is what happened to our Lord. Chase, what do you have to say about that?
Sounds to me like you, in some way, shape, or form, you have made several allusions to Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
That was a good movie, too. But what you said sounded like a litany almost, but it was real nice. You did real well.
When I saw it, I thought it was a litany. It's a pretty long list. Don't bother that countdown thing because we have 15 minutes of overtime. But the one that struck me, and something that has always struck me, and you might have seen Universal Rosaries out there where people say, you know, you can say that you wanted to pray at one certain rosary, a decade or not. And for me, I always got chosen to pray the Sorrowful Mystery, Jesus is Scourged at the Pillar, because that in itself, Jesus should not have survived. But the fact that he did survive just wows me. We're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll hear from Chase again. We'll hear from our good friend Diane. And maybe just listen from you. We'll see you right back after the break.
There's a way of life where simplicity brings joy and humility leads to happiness. Where we learn that less is more, and in giving, we receive. It's our refuge from chaos and light to guide us through darkness. It's a place where the broken receive healing and repentant hearts find mercy. Here, our days are set free from anxiety and addictions, and our nights rest with more peace. So, where is this hope, and who knows the way? Our hope rests in Jesus, and His church leads the way. If you're longing to fill an emptiness or seeking a way home, we invite you to experience the peace that only comes from God. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
We are Catholic. Welcome home. If you're falling away from the church or not even Catholic and are discerning the religion, we welcome you and we are glad that you are here. If you want more information on becoming Catholic or coming back home to the church if you're falling away, don't hesitate to go to www.catholicscomehome.org or by emailing me at catholic.teen.sc@gmail.com. Tonight we are talking about Jesus and the trials and sorrows that he went through. And we are reminded during Lent of all these things that we just went through. So many of these. And now we're going to move into something even more sorrowful, to Jesus' last words.
Okay.
Yes, so we're going to move in there. Jesus' last words, his so-called last will and testament, deserve additionally consideration as they were the last things he said before his death. Not only were these the last words spoken by our Lord during his extreme agony on the cross, but it is also a helpful reminder that when someone coherent is nearing death, they may indicate things most heartfelt to them. Clearly, each word spoken by Jesus is important. But it is reasonable to believe that the words freely chosen by Jesus as his last might merit additional consideration. Therefore, these precious last phrases uttered by our Savior may make excellent passages for regular reflection. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The great depths of our Lord Jesus' love and mercy, even towards those who unjustly mock, accuse, persecute, and torture him. Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The importance of confession, repentance, and faith. As long as one is alive, it is never too late for a penitent sinner to receive forgiveness. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to him, his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Mary, the mother of our Lord, stood before the cross of her son. Jesus symbolically gives his mother to the faithful and vice versa. This act also shows Jesus' honor and concern for his beloved mother. Note, this passage also testifies to the fact that Jesus didn't have biological brothers, as same as non-Catholics mistakenly claim, since it would have been inappropriate for Jesus to give his mother to a non-relative if she had other children to care for her. Matthew 27. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And at 3:00, there's another translation here. And at 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which is translated to, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 21-22 states, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Despite his agony, the ever-faithful Jesus doesn't doubt his Father. His cry is usually associated with the Psalm 21-22, the prayer of an innocent person, my God, why have you abandoned me?" John 19:28-29, afterwards, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now there was a vessel set there full of vinegar, and they, putting a sponge upon vinegar about hyssop, put it to his mouth. From Psalm 68:69, "Save me, God, for the waters have reached my neck. I have sunk into the mire of the deep, where there is no foothold. I have gone down to the watery depth. The flood overwhelms me. I am weary with crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes have failed, looking for my God. More numerous than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Too many for my strength are my treacherous enemies. Must I know restore what I did not steal? Because zeal for your house consumes me, I am scorned by those who scorn you. I wept and fasted, but this led only to scorn." Wow. I think that's cool. Not cool, but in a way that we can get a meditation after it. John 19 states, "When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, 'Finished,' and bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. For whoever had such power to sleep when he wished, as our Lord had to die when he wished, what power must he have for our good and our evil? Who had such power dying? St. Augustine, Doctor of the Church. Our last one here. Luke 23 states, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. This states Christ's abandonment to his heavenly Father begins his last utterance from the cross with the same word he began the first, namely, Father. But crying out in a loud voice, he gives up the ghost because he had himself the power of laying down his life, taking it up again. Also for this reason, he cried out with a loud voice to show that this is done by his own power. For by crying out with a loud voice when dying, he showed that he was the true God. Because a man in dying can scarcely utter even a feeble sound. St. John, Doctor of the Church. The flesh dies, that the spirit may rise again. The spirit is commended to the Father, that heavenly things also may be loosed from the chain of impunity, and peace be made in heaven, which earthly things shall follow. St. Ambrose. Also consider, free me from the net they have set me. For you are my Lord and my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem you, Lord, my faithful God. Psalm 30, 31. Here's a quote I want you to think about. The cross of the sufferer is the chair of the master. Before we end this evening, I want to let you all know of something very, very, I think, cool that I'm doing tomorrow. It's a 30-minute segment, and it's called Saturday Night Live Catholic Edition, SNL Catholic Edition. And I think it's going to do some pretty cool things. We're going to be talking about different Lenten devotion, different things to do during Lent. And it's Saturday night, and it's live. This, if you after the Blog Talk Radio show is over, we will then go into one of my favorite things called Google Hangouts. It's live. And so if you want to watch a live video, or if you want to be on the call, you can do either one. But after 45 minutes, the call will end, and it'll be just on Google Events. Also, tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, me and our good friend Diane Woodson, and I'm trying to get some other prayer warriors along. Maybe Chase, you can join us if you're available. But at 11 p.m. Eastern, until we're finished, we will be doing the Precious Blood of Jesus daily devotion, as well as some litanies, some chaplets, as well as the rosary. If you yourself are interested in participating, not only watching but saying some of the prayers live, you can email me at catholic.teen.sb@gmail.com or Facebook me. Chase, I'd really love if you could join us, but I do know that it's late. But we are going to go into our final song now, a song that I've chosen just for tonight. God of mercy, God of compassion. And remember, no meat. God bless.